Canto 1, Chapter 3. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Sutta said, "In the beginning, the Supreme Lord, for the creation of the worlds, assumed the form of the original person, the integrity of the material realm, composed of the 16 elements, of the 10 knowing and working senses, the mind and the 5 elements, and the cosmic intelligence and such. Resting in his meditative slumber in that water, out of the lotus that spread from the lake of his navel, Brahma was manifested, the master of the progenitors in the universe. One supposes the different worlds as expansions to be part of the form of the fortunate one that constitutes the excellence of the purest existence. In a perfect spiritual vision, his form is seen as having numerous legs, thighs, arms and faces, with wonderful heads, ears, eyes and noses, all glowing with countless garlands, earrings and dresses. This source of the multifarious incarnations is the imperishable seed from which the plenary portions originate, as also the portions thereof, such as the gods, the human beings, and the animals. The first position the Godhead Narayana created was that of the sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, who performed the most difficult discipline of continuous celibacy. The Supreme Enjoyer, secondly, assumed the form of a boar for the welfare of the earth that had sunken to the lowest regions and lifted her up from the ocean. Thirdly, he accepted his presence among the seers in the form of Narada Muni for the sake of evolving the Vedic knowledge concerning the performance of devotional service free from material motives. Fourth, born as the twin sons of Murti, the wife of King Dharma, he, in the form of Nara Narayana, subjected himself to severe penances to attain control over the senses. Fifth, he, carrying the name of Kapila, gave an exposition to the Brahmin Asuri on the nature of metaphysics and the elements of creation, because in the course of time, that knowledge had been lost. Sixth, as the son of Atri, named Dattatreya, being born from Anasuya, who prayed for him, he lectured to Alarka, Prahlada and others about transcendence. Seventh, being born from Akuti as Yajna, the son of Prajapati Ruchi, he, together with his son Yama and other demigods, ruled during the period of Svayambhuva Manu and became the Indra. Eighth, from the wife of King Nabi Meru Devi, the Almighty Lord took birth as King Rishaba and showed the path of perfection respected by people of all stages of life. His ninth incarnation he accepted in response to the prayers of the sages, whereupon he, as Prithu, ruled the earth for the sake of collecting, milking her produces, which made her most attractive. Assuming the form of a fish, Matsya, he, after the period of Chakshusha Manu, protected Vaivasvata Manu, keeping him in a boat afloat the waters when the world was deeply inundated. 11th, the mighty lord, in the form of a tortoise, Kurma, sustained the Mandarachala hill of the theists and atheists that served as a pivot in the ocean. 12th, he appeared as Dhanvantari, lord of medicine, and 13th, he appeared before the atheists as an alluring, beautiful woman, and gave nectar to the demigods. In his 14th incarnation, he, half as a lion, appeared as Nrishima, who, with his nails on his lip, tore apart the king of the atheists, like a carpenter splitting cane. 15th, he assumed the form of Vamana, the dwarf Brahmana, who went to the arena of sacrifice of Maharaj Bali to beg for only 3 steps of land, concealing his wish to regain the 3 worlds. In his 16th incarnation, he, as Bhrigupati or Parashurama, saw that the ruling class was hostile towards the Brahmins and acted 21 times against them. Seeing that the common people were less intelligent, he, 17th, incarnated as Vyasadeva, taking birth from Satyavati with Parashara Muni as his father, for the purpose of dividing the desire tree of the Veda into several branches. Next, he performed in a superhuman way, having assumed the form of a divine human being, Rama, by controlling the Indian Ocean and such, so that he could act for the sake of the godly souls. 19th, as also 20th, Bhagavan took birth in the Vrishni family as Balarama and Krishna, and thus removed the burden from the world. Thereafter, at the beginning of the age of Kali, he will appear in Gaya, Bihar, as the son of Mother Anjana with the name Buddha, for the purpose of deluding the ones envious of the theists. Next, at the conjunction of 2 yugas, this one and the next, when there is hardly a ruler to be found who is not a plunderer, the lord of the creation, carrying the name of Kalki, will take birth as the son of Vishnu Yasha. Dear Brahmins, the incarnations of the Lord who appeared from the ocean of goodness are as innumerable as the thousands of streams we have from inexhaustible sources of water. All the powerful sages, the godly souls, the Manus, and their progeny, as also the Prajapatis, the founding fathers, are aspects of the Lord. They are all part of, or plenary portions of, Krishna, the Supreme Lord Bhagavan in person, who offers protection during all ages and in all worlds against disturbances because of the enemies of the King of Heaven, Indra. Anyone who in the morning and the evening carefully recites these mysterious births of the Lord will find relief from all miseries of life. All these forms of the Lord, that by the qualities of the material energy were created with the ingredients of the cosmic intelligence and other elements, originated from his self-awareness that is without a form. They are there for the less intelligent observer to be perceived the way one sees clouds in the sky or dust in the air. This unmanifested self in the beyond that cannot be seen or heard and has no form that is affected by the modes of nature, constitutes the reality of the subtle self of the individual soul who takes birth repeatedly. As soon as one by self-knowledge arrives at the rejection of all these gross and subtle forms that impose themselves on the soul because of ignorance, one arrives at the realization of the absolute truth. With the illusory energy subsided, one is endowed with the full knowledge of enlightenment, so that one thus being mindful will be situated in one's own glory. This is how these scholars arrived at the description of the birth and activities of the actually unborn and non-engaged Lord of the Heart. It is the hidden meaning of the Vedas. Residing within every living being, he is the omnipotent master and witness of the 6 qualities, the 6 objects of the senses and the mind, and opulences, bhaga, whose play is spotless, who is independent and not affected by creation, destruction and maintenance. Because of his expert manipulations, his activities, names and forms cannot be understood by the speculations and speeches of those with a poor fund of knowledge, just like fools cannot understand an actor's performance. Only he who renders unconditional, uninterrupted, favorable service to his fragrant lotus feet may know the transcendental glories of the all-powerful Creator with the wheel of the chariot in his hand. When one, in this world, succeeds in thus being cognizant with the personality of Godhead, who embraces all his universes as their Lord, and who inspires for the complete of the spirit of ecstasy, one will never again have to experience there the dreadful repetition of births. This book, called the Bhagavatam, about the activities of the one hailed in the verses, the fortunate one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and his devotees, that as a supplement to the Vedas, a Purana was compiled by the seer of God Vyasadeva, is there for the ultimate good of bringing success, happiness and perfection to all people. This story, which, as the cream from all the Vedic literatures and histories, was extracted by Srila Vyasadeva, he delivered to his son, who is the most respectable one among the self-realized souls. He, Shuka, in his turn, told it to Emperor Parikshit, who, surrounded by the greatest sages, sat down at the Ganges to fast until his death. Now that Krishna has left for his abode, and with him also proper conduct and spiritual insight have vanished, this Purana, bright as the sun, has appeared at the horizon for the sake of everyone who in the age of quarrel, Kali Yuga, has lost his vision. O Brahmins, when the story was recited there by that powerful great sage, I, being perfectly attentive by his mercy, also managed to understand it, so that I will now relate it to you also, exactly as I learned it free from deviations by my own mind.